Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. Looking forward to the meeting starting. We will begin with our Bible study hour, but we will continue this morning with our early service. I've been presenting a series of my part in this series on the exhortations of Paul to the Thessalonians contained in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in the first two lessons in this series, we looked at Paul's exhortations to the Thessalonians that focused primarily on the Christians' attitude, first to the other members, including the leaders of the congregation, and then towards others that include those both inside and possibly outside of the local church. With the verses that I had Brother Gary read, Paul changes his direction slightly with these exhortations, and begins a series of exhortations directed at the Christian's own personal spirituality, their own approach to life. He exhorts them to attitudes and actions that will develop a rich spiritual life, and a life that should really characterize a Christian. The list in this part of 1 Thessalonians 5 is too long for us to cover in one of the sessions based upon the time we allot in these early Sunday sessions. And so I've broken it into two. And so we will look at these with that. Now, I think to kind of set a background, remind ourselves of this church at Thessalonica, these exhortations that we're going to talk about this morning have a deeper meaning for us, I think, if we remember that they were written to a church that had experienced persecution from its very beginning. We're not going to go back and read this passage for sake of time this morning, but in Acts 17, verses 1 through 9, Luke records the events at Thessalonica, the establishment of that church, and that ultimately Paul really had to escape from town because of the enemies of the gospel, and he left this new church in that type of environment where the Judaizing teachers and the men of the synagogue were opposed to this new church. And now Paul is writing them back. He writes them, of course, we all know, two letters. And this exhortation is in a set of exhortations there in the end of the book. And so we want to look at these matters this morning. And there's the first three we're going to look at in this series. We'll finish this up next Sunday morning, is he tells them to rejoice always. The Greek words that are in the original text here are almost universally translated in English translations by this phrase. There are two major exceptions. One is the Old King James that uses the Old English word evermore, rejoice evermore. We don't use that word in modern English, and it essentially means always. The International Standard Version turns the phrase a little bit, and I think it's got some insight for us. So I will refer to that, and it says, always be joyful. And so when you look at it that way, it is telling Christians, and we remember it's written to Christians who are suffering opposition and possibly persecution, that they are to be joyful always. That means even in the case of their current opposition. This joy is not an emotional reaction to pleasant experiences. And I think that becomes obvious when we consider the unpleasant circumstances that surrounded the establishment of the church in Thessalonica, and particularly the opposition from the Jewish synagogue. That as a young church, they were going to have to stand faithful in the midst of that kind of opposition, all the way through to the concept of persecution, and yet he tells them, you be joyful, even though these kind of things have happened. The Apostle Paul himself had experienced this type of opposition, not only at Thessalonica, but in other places that he had been in preaching the gospel. It was not uncommon. I remember when I was a college student, Brother Haley said every place Paul went, he either started a church or a riot, and in some places he managed to do both. And so Paul was used to opposition to the preaching of the gospel. And yet he is telling them that regardless of those kind of external situations, a Christian can develop a spirit and a character so that they can approach life with a joyful attitude because of the relationship they have in Christ. This is not something that is unique to Paul's writing to the Thessalonians. In Philippians 4 and verse 4, he says exactly the same thing in just slightly different words. He says, you rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So rejoicing or gladness that Paul is exhorting to those Thessalonians and to us as well is a joy that is the realization of the ultimate benefits and advantages that a Christian has because of their relationship with God in Christ. And that joy can be understood and appreciated. It can be expressed. It can provide benefit at any time in our lives, regardless of the other circumstances in our lives, simply because of the relationship that we share with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Then the second part of that exhortation is the exhortation to pray without ceasing. Prayer is the practice of speaking to or with God. And the question that comes up is that what does Paul mean by the exhortation to pray without ceasing? Now, having been raised mostly in the church, my parents became Christians when I was six or seven years old, and so I grew up going to church. The memory I have of this is that this is one of the three verses that you memorize when you're young, because if the Bible class teacher says, next week have a memory verse, after you got past Jesus wept, and the one we started with today, rejoice always, well then pray without ceasing is the third shortest verse in the Bible. So if you have your options to memorize verses, I remember that. But what does pray without ceasing mean? And again, most of our English translations use these words. And the ones that express the thought slightly different don't really provide a lot of help as to defining the phrase. The New International Version says, pray continually. The ISV says, continually be prayerful. And the Revised Standard Version says, pray constantly. Well, you add that to pray without ceasing, and so what does that mean? Well, the Leonida lexicon defines the word that's translated by this phrase as that which pertains to not ceasing from some continuous activity. Not ceasing, not stopping, unceasing, continuously. And so that idea here is that which is a consistent, ongoing activity. And I remember from my youth the impractical explanations that you often hear. I remember having a Bible class teacher that said this phrase meant that a Christian always had to live with a prayer on their lips. Well, that's a nice, warm thought, but it's not really realistic in everyday world. And so we live with everyday stresses and everyday activities, and some of us are not good multitaskers. And so, if you combine some of the ideas you hear, I remember when I was commuting to Columbus regularly, I spent some of that time in prayer, and I had to get away from the idea that when I was taught to pray, I was taught to close my eyes. Because praying on Interstate 70 is not the best place in the world to have your eyes closed. And to say you always have a prayer on your lips, and I have to honestly admit that sometimes on that way to work, if somebody cut me off, my immediate thoughts were not real prayerful. And you have those things that happen in life. And if you're not a good multitasker, I have trouble sometimes doing one thing at a time. And so that becomes an almost impossibility, and people beat themselves up because they say, I'm not prayerful the way I ought to be. And I don't believe that that's what the word means or what Paul means by that word at all, rather than some impossible or impractical explanation that we often hear. What Paul is saying is develop persistence in your prayer life. Have a continuous habit of prayer. And I think the classic example of that in the Bible is the story of Daniel in Daniel chapter 6. Three times a day, Daniel opened his windows looking back towards Jerusalem and prayed. And his enemies, looking to find something about that, about Daniel, to try to lessen his position in the government and elevate themselves, they tricked the king, not understanding that about Daniel's life, to make this edict that you couldn't pray to anybody except the throne, really, of Persia. And so what did Daniel do? The next time it was his regular time for prayer, he opened his windows and prayed back the way he had every day, even though people were going to see him, and you remember they brought charges against him. That's how he ended up in the lion's den. But even their opposition and their trickery did not keep him from practicing his prayer. And I believe that that steadfastness in his life leads to the other story of how God protects him in the lion's den. And so this exhortation to pray without ceasing is an exhortation to have perseverance in her prayer life. And that's a common theme in the New Testament. In Ephesians 6 and verse 18, Paul says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, with this in view, be on the alert with perseverance and petition for the saints. In Colossians 4 and verse 2, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So what Paul is exhorting the Thessalonians to do here is even though the stress they're under, even though they're young Christians, he's saying you need to develop and maintain the practice of prayer. And I think we all do well to handle that challenge, because I think experience tells us that probably the great challenges in our life concerning prayer are when things are going really, really good and we're really, really busy, or when things are going really, really bad and we get wrapped up in all of our problems, then people may deviate from their prayer life. And so this is an exhortation that was very important to this young church as it was undergoing opposition. But it was very important for each of the members of that young church to develop this quality in their lives, and it's very important for us to try to do that as well. So what we conclude about this is that what Paul was exhorting them to do was maintain the constant practice of prayer. So just as it was important to approach life joyfully, regardless of the circumstances that they might find in their life, because that joyful attitude in Christ puts the Christian in good stead in both good times and bad, a steadfast habit of prayer helps the Christian develop a dependency upon God that will stay with them through good times and bad times and help them with their life as a Christian. Then the third thing that he says here is, in everything, give thanks. Most of the translations use this word, everything. particularly the older ones of the King James and American Standard families, so the New American Standard that I read from, as well as the Old American Standard, the King James, the New King James, all say all or everything. So again, we look at the way some might look at that word in a very literal way, and so does this mean that I am to give thanks for every aspect of every occurrence in my life? I am so thankful that my loved one died. That's not a very practical thing, particularly when the Bible tells us there are times to weep, there are times to grieve, there are times which we face stress. I think that the more modern translations in this case are more helpful, like the English Standard Version, which is our Pew Bible, the NIV, the Revised Standard Version. All of those say, give thanks in all circumstances. And I think that's the way we understand that. I may find it difficult or impossible to be thankful for a specific situation or occurrence in life. When your loved one is sick and dying, we generally, most of us say, I can't be thankful for that. I will miss them. I'm concerned about the suffering they're going through and various things like that. But in those circumstances, we can find things to be thankful for. We can find things to be thankful for when we're undergoing persecution. We can find things to be thankful for when things aren't going well at work. In every aspect of our life. So we may not be thankful for the illness that is attacking our body, but while undergoing that illness, we certainly can be thankful for the skill and the dedication of the doctors that are attending to us, for the devotion of our family members that are caring for us, for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are praying for us, and for God's watch, care, and comfort that brings us through all those times of trial. The ISV, in my opinion, says this one the best. It says simply, in everything, be thankful. No matter what you're going through, you can find something to be thankful to God for. In every circumstance, while it may not be easy, the Christian should be able, with reflection and meditation, to find a reason for thanksgiving. The exhortation promotes a proper attitude towards life, with its varied blessings and sorrows. It is an appropriate expression of the Christian life in all circumstances. As Paul tells the Colossians in Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So those are the three exhortations. But before we close, we come to this question, why? Why did Paul give them these exhortations? And actually, that is contained in verse 18. Paul says, you do this because that is what God wants you to be. And so the only question we want to take a moment here to point out is the question of to which of these exhortations does this apply? There are some commentators, some scholars, who say it is simply his reason for saying this is why you should give thanks in all things, because God wants you to be thankful. But I think in both Greek grammar, and I'm not a Greek scholar, and in English, and I'm not really an English scholar either, but in both of them, the grammar indicates to me that this phrase applies to all three of the exhortations we've looked at this morning. In English, it's easiest for me to see, if you look at your English Bibles, each one of these first phrases, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, they're separated from each other by a semicolon, which means they are that they are subordinate clauses. And so the reason that's given applies to all three of those clauses equally, I think, in English grammar. And I believe that's the way it is in the Greek also. And so What I'm saying here is, why should I try to be as joyful a person as I can be? Why do I need to develop the practice of prayer in my life? Why do I need to be a thankful person? Well, in all three cases, it's because that's what God wants me to be. These are the qualities that should be reflected in the life of a Christian. Therefore, we should approach our service to God joyfully. We should recognize our need for and the value of prayer. We should be thankful throughout our lives for the life and the blessings that we share in Christ Jesus. These three exhortations are essential to our spiritual life. They are positive exhortations expressing aspects that we should develop in our lives as Christians. So next Sunday morning, I'll conclude that series with our next lesson, or the next Sunday I have this section, with looking at the remaining warnings that Paul expresses there, or exhortations, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But Brother Rich Jose has the prayer, and then we'll be dismissed to our classes.